listening to the gardening program with Ismail Vuriyava.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to another edition of our program, Dare to be Different. It's just wonderful to have you tuning in, whether it's via the audio streaming medium 1548 Satellite Islam and on the DSTV channel 826. And this morning we've got a wonderful, wonderful guest, and that is someone who has never spoken to us before, but we have spoken to her late mother, and that is Sandy. Now, Sandy is going to chat to us about what Margaret Roberts has done, and over the last couple of weeks we've been talking about some of the contributions that she has done and some of the wonderful work that she has contributed to. And she definitely is regarded as a doyen with regards to herbs and alternative healing, in, you know, using natural remedies and so forth. And with us online is Sandy. Hi, thank you very much for being with us, Sandy.
Thank you, Ismail.
Thank you very much. And like I said, you know, we've been chatting to your mom. We've spoken to her a number of occasions. Yes. It's been a great loss. And tell us something about mom and her contribution. And why do you think has been this loss?
You know, it's been such a great shock for all of us. We had a 10-year plan. And so with all the work that mom has been doing, it's not going to stop there. Because of this plan that we have set ahead for ourselves, I work with Margaret at the Herbal Center and have done so for 32 years. It is all laid out for us to continue. And because she has done such amazing work and brought it forward to so many people all over the world, it is going to continue through the work that she has prepared for us, and we will try and get out as much information for people as possible that was set out. So unfortunately, these things happen in life and we never have the answers. It was a very big shock for all of us, as Margaret was so healthy right to the end. It just seemed that this was her time to go. But it's not time for the work to go. That will continue.
Thank you very much for that. And, you know, like you said, it's not time for the work to go. It's work to continue. But when you leave, you know, she's left a legacy behind. And
that
legacy is such a, you know, it's not just a small piece. It's a phenomenal piece of work. And, you know, it encompasses so many different aspects. What do you think has been the most lasting of that legacy?
I don't know how one would actually explain the enormity of the work that she has left behind, because if I had to answer that, there wouldn't be one thing only. There are many things that are still going to come through to everybody. For instance, one of her books, she has written over 40 books, and very often people get that mistaken and they think it's not possible, but it is if we go back and we look at where she's come from and how she started writing. One of her most special books that she did for South Africa is the Indigenous Healing book, and that is only going to come out on her birthday, which is on the 1st of July. So if I have to look at one special piece, it wouldn't serve any justice to any other of the special pieces and any of the other special work that she's done. But if I had to look at what would be her gift to the world, then it would be the Indigenous Healing book that will be published shortly, only in a few months' time. If I can hurry up enough, the publishers keep saying to me, hurry up with it so that we can have it, and we can have that as a tribute to Margaret and have Margaret's legacy continue.
You know, what she spoke about is so important, because one of the things that she had brought to the fore has been something that there hasn't been enough study on, and when she came on, she really brought things, and that's been both endemic and indigenous. You know, she came in and she studied things whilst, you know, she did an enormous amount of work with plants from other parts of the world, but she brought to the fore South African, you know, plants that were healing. People didn't even know it existed. And didn't understand that there was sort of curative properties to it. So, and then she looked at it not only indigenous but also endemic. So, you know, whilst it was, to, you know, confined to a specific part of the country, she brought all that knowledge to the fore. And I think this is what, you know, for me, this is something that I think very few people have been able to do the way she has done.
Absolutely, you're right. She loved the plants so very much that she never actually had the favorites. I'd say to her, what are your favorite herbs? And she'd say to me, oh, darling, I've got 100 favorite herbs, which was the last book that we did together. And it's got a red hibiscus on it. And as you say, they are the endemic herbs that she absolutely loved. And she lived through them and she used them. And every bit of our work that we do at the Herbal Center uses the plants as you come in. The Herbal Center continues. We continue that in her as a tribute to her and as her legacy, as she asked for it. It is in her wish that we continue that work. And so the plants that she used in the end were the ones that she had found were the most valuable to her in her age. So every time she went through something, she learned a little bit more, and every circumstance and any ailment and any situation that she was in, she learned and she studied about the plants to use them to the best of her ability.
You know, just while I was chatting to her once, I remember she said, you know, it's not just plants that I get from here. I also, you know, sort of talk to people who come in from other parts of the world. And one example she gave me was that she brought some plants in from India.
Yes.
And one of them, you know, traditionally in Indian, you know, it's called the neem tree, which I think, you know, just the ringa.
Yes.
And, you know, she spoke about it very lovingly and very fondly. She said, you know what, that's a tree that we don't understand and we're not very sure of. And she said, I've got one in my center. And there's not a lot of others that I've grown. She said to me she'd plant them in one or two other places and not really everywhere. And there was something that she brought and she was so passionate about that she brought things from other places
then
studied them and then also then was prepared to share it with everybody. And she said, you know what, this is what it is. So whilst we have something that looks similar to the syringa, it's not the actual neem tree as it's known, you know, in India. And is that correct?
That's correct. Our syringa is an alien invader. We are not really supposed to have that syringa. But the neem tree that comes from India is one of the spectacular plants. She loved that for the many different uses, from the leaf all the way through to the little sticks that they'd use to clean their teeth, and of course the antiseptic soaps that we made at the Herbal Center from the neem. So there were many different aspects to the plants that she appreciated that came from different countries. Even ashwagandha, which is one of our anti-tumor herbs that we love. If we can get to the berries before the birds do, you know what it's like in the garden, there's the race. And then of course sacred basil, which is your tulsi. So there were many different plants that she absolutely loved that came from different countries, and especially yours. I'm depending on the tulsi at the moment because it is helping me with grief. And I find it's such an amazing plant to use in my tea that I don't go to bed without it, and my children have it as well. And she always used to say the tulsi, the sacred basil that we used as a soothing basil cream on our skins for the sunburn and for all the different woes that we had, the tulsi would always come into it. And then, of course, there's the turmeric, which is used extensively in the Indian culture, as well as the turmeric flowers, which I absolutely love for my teas.
So, you know, when I was going to take on, and I think it's just you touched on, you know, the basil, because she spoke to me and said, you know, the holy basil or the, you know, the sacred basil, known as tulsi, and in Arabic, I think the term that they refer to is called rayhan, you know, so, and it's got a lot of qualities. And she spoke about it and she said, very fun, she said, you know, that's one of the plants I'd always love to have. And when she spoke about that, you know, it made my mind was rushing at that, and I said, you know what, again, We only seem to understand and think of it from an Italian, you know, cuisine point of view.
Yes.
That you'd use the basil.
Yes.
You know, that's what, you know, would be sort of in terms of common usage. You know, that's the basil. And we'd use it in... Is that correct?
Well, the sacred basil, which is the tulsi, is the Osmum sanctum, is its species. So in South Africa, it is not known as Osmum tenifolium. I'm not sure what the different names are in the different countries, but I think it's a common tulsi would be the one that is used not only in the food and teas, but it's not the common one that we put on pizza. That is a different one altogether.
Right.
I think the tulsi has more of an antiseptic property than the ones we put on our pizza, really, even though they're all as delicious.
And, you know, then there was also, you know, something about harvesting the seeds from there.
Yes.
And that you found was very curative. Is that correct?
Yes. The seeds are quite amazing. You know, even just rubbing your hand up the seed, you know, it goes on a little stalk. So if you pull the seed up backwards, of course, they all come off very easily. And just doing that process of feeding, de-seeding a plant when it's ready releases all the essential oils, and that is a very relaxing thing to do, because it obviously then is going to calm you, and you're going to get into the mode of being in the garden and planting and growing. And so one's mind starts setting itself ahead into a plan without you realizing it, and it has its healing properties in the same way. So we do love to keep all the Tulsi seeds. Most of the basils have the same seed format. It grows on a little stem. So it's very easy to take seeds for basil. But if you have varieties in your garden, you have to make sure that you label them correctly so that you know the best properties and the best way to use them.
I think that's so important, because now you sort of alluded, you said just one type of basil, but you have a number of basils.
Yes.
To know which one is which, because you could be confused. Maybe the scent is almost the same, the seeds look the same, but it doesn't have the same healing properties.
That's right.
The other thing that I was very fascinated with, and I still have it in my garden, was something that she insisted, said this was a licorice plant, and it looked like a, you know, like a grass.
Yes.
You know, it was growing, and you know, and I said, what's this? And she said, just take it and rub your hand, and I did, and you know, it had this beautiful fragrance of licorice, and I said, what's this? Well, it's just a licorice plant. And many people still come into my garden and say, but where do you get this? I said, well, don't ask me. It comes from the herbal center I've got many, many years. And I must say, too, it's been a fascinating plant to have.
Yes, it is. It is absolutely fascinating. Inside the last book we did on licorice was the difference of the licorice is that you see the licorice plant itself, and then if you see the licorice grass. Now, the licorice grass we would use for tea, whereas with the licorice plant, which is from tropical Asia and the Mediterranean area, is a little shrub. And for us, that was a very exciting plant to have, because it is very gentle. It grows very small where we are against the mountain. And what we really found was that its appealing flavor was so very good for not only the little stevia sweets that we made, you know, the stevia being this natural sugar plant, we made like little sweets, but also to add it into other ingredients and other cakes that used to be very unusual in flavor. And licorice is a very difficult flavor to blend with most, because on its own it has got such a complete flavor. So we would normally try and do a lemongrass with a licorice, and that would be the flavor combination that we would use. But to make the tea from both your grass or from your licorice plant, It's the usual quarter of a cup of fresh licorice leaves to the boiling water, the cup of boiling water, and then you just let it stand. And that is the best way of getting the plant flavor and the healing properties.
You know, there's so much that, you know, I'm trying to share what, you know, she shared with us, and, you know, some of the valuable things that she spoke about, and two other things that she spoke to me, and I still have the stevia with me, you know, incidentally.
Yes.
And the stevia dies down in winter.
That's
and
nice.
Comes back in summer. And the other day someone said, how do you use the stevia? I said, well, I don't know. I just put the two leaves into a pot and or into a little bit of water, and then, you know, let it steep. And then I just, you know, scoop out the liquid. I don't know if that's the right way, but that was some of the ways I thought I'd get the best out of the stevia.
Absolutely. You are right with that, Ismail. That's exactly how Margaret did it. She loved doing that. So that for her was, and it's a very simple way of getting the sugar out of the plant. Works perfectly.
Okay, so that was the right thing, because I wasn't sure. I said, well, fine, maybe, you know, I'm not too sure, because we had such a lot of, you know, conversations around all of these things. And then finally, before we go on to other things of Margaret, the thing that you spoke about to me that's intrigued me, somebody's given me a turmeric plant, and I've got a number of, you know, them in my garden just growing, and they've gone to leaf form. What does one use with the turmeric? I know that in India they do a golden milk, which they use, and, you know, they say it is definitely has healing properties.
Yes.
But what else can you use? Do you wait for the plant to flower, or do you wait for the leaf to drop? What happens?
We waited for the flower to, and obviously if you do use the flower, then you're going to lose out in different areas of the plant, but it depends on what your level of importance is. You know, the turmeric root is so wonderful for all the different ailments, and it goes right the way through from cancer all the way through to skin ailment. So the turmeric is very valuable for us. I use it in the restaurant for tea. I find that the turmeric for tea is amazing, both the root as well as the flower. You know, with the root thing is you get that very orange color.
Yes, it's an intense one. It's very intense. And I know it stains the hands very easily.
Very easily, it does. And it's actually quite hard to get rid of the color. I must say, we've done a lot of experiments with the turmeric because we used to make a type of a bread where we'd add the turmeric into the flour. And so it would be a little bit of buckwheat, and then we would add the turmeric to that, and then we'd add a bit of oil and the spices that go with that, and then make it into a flat, very flat bread and fry it with a lot of thyme. And just working with your hands with that, you would have the color for days. You know, it just wouldn't come off. But the properties that of the beneficial properties that would go into your hands as you were making the little flatbreads was enormous. You know, you knew that you were going to have a good body cleanse because of the turmeric that had gone through your skin. It's wonderful. But turmeric is widely used for many, many ailments. Margaret used to love the turmeric flowers and used to call me. We have an area down in front of the restaurant that I've had for 32 years at the Herbal Center, and I like to use all the edible flowers and all the herbs in the restaurant so that people can taste them in their freshness. And so we do beautiful cook-ups. And Margaret planted a section of turmeric underneath the mulberry tree where it is cool because we have extensive heat. And we would have to go and water it and watch it. And every time the turmeric came into flower, she would call me and I would have to photograph it. And so I have got these most exquisite photographs of the turmeric flower. And the different varieties show slight different coloration in the flowers, which is fascinating to see.
You know, and I must say to you, it's the first time I'd seen this because somebody had given me some turmeric and it was fresh and I left it. And, you know, lo and behold, the next thing I knew, it was sprouting. I thought, well, why don't I try planting?
Yes.
And when I did that, you know, I found that all of them came up. You know, all of them came up. And I'm sitting with quite a number of them. And I'm not too sure how to use it. I'm not too sure what it is. But I thought, well, let me just chat and just find out about the turmeric.
Yes.
Because I think it seems such an exciting plant.
It is a very exciting plant. Very. Just the fresh root is very exciting. And also to dry it. But, you know, Ismail, you must have green fingers if you're finding the turmeric so wonderful. You know, you must, and it grows so prolifically with you, you really must have the best green fingers there are.
I'm not sure about that. But just that I must say, it's done wonders, it really has. You know, what I want to chat about now is let's just go a little bit to the Herbal Center and then we come back to some of the things.
Yes.
Now, the Herbal Center is still active, is it correct?
Yes, the Herbal Center goes on. It was our plan anyway to continue it, whether I was there or Margaret was there. You know, we always had these discussions of how we wanted to continue our work. As I said, we had the 10-year plan, and it will go further than that. It won't just stop there, just because we had only a 10-year plan ahead of us. It was just Margaret and I were looking at things realistically. The Herbal Center continues as normal. We are open on the first Saturday of every month.
Sorry, I'm just taking that down. So it's the first Saturday of every month.
Yes, the first Saturday of every month, and I will continue doing Margaret's classes. On this Saturday, which is just a day away really, we have got cosmetic making, and we're talking about cellulite, and we're talking about all the different skin conditions and how to naturally make your own oils and creams to apply to your skin to help you with those conditions. And it's going to be a very exciting class. So every Saturday, every open Saturday, the first one of the month, I will then be giving Margaret's classes as we have planned for the year. And then we'll continue next year with the next range of classes. We never repeat a class, and we always add on so that there is always something fascinating to continue with. But apart from the Saturdays, we are open on a Wednesday, every single Wednesday to the public. And there we share the gardens, and you'd be able to walk in the nursery and go to the restaurant and eat the food and go into the shop and buy the lovely products. Everything that's made on the premises is sold on the premises. So if you're going to get something to eat, or if you're going to get something for your bath or some cream or lotion or something for the kitchen, everything is there. It's wonderful. It continues as normal.
And the timings on a Wednesday, you said it's every Wednesday.
Every
summer,
Wednesday?
Winter,
yes.
And summer, we're now going to, you know, winter. Would this be the same times or is it different,
yes,
times?
Yes, it would be the same. We open at 8:30 and we close at 4 on our open days.
Okay, so 8:30 to 4, that's,
yes,
the Wednesday.
Yes.
And then the classes, where would they get that information? Would that be on your website?
Yes, it's normally on our website or on our Facebook. Margaret and I we have our own Facebook with us together. It's got both of us standing in the picture because I believe there are quite a few other ones that have the same name, but it's called the Margaret Roberts Herbal Center. You've just got to be careful of the spelling.
Yes, yes, that's correct. I know you've got to have an R in the Margaret. Is that correct?
Yes, Margaret. It's got to have an S. Margaret. So it's M-A-R-G-A-R-E-T. Margaret.
And okay, the S has got to come at the end.
Yes, R-O-B-E-R-T-S. Otherwise, you can go onto our website, and all the information is on our website, Margaret Roberts. You just www. And margaretroberts.co.za. So all the information is there, and we are in the process. In fact, we'd started last year changing our website so that there will be a lot more information going out to everyone who is interested. For instance, the new Indigenous book that's coming out, as well as the other two books that are also in the pipeline, and all of our open days and all the things that we do at the Herbal Center. So that will still be going up, and the information will be there for everyone to enjoy.
You know, when you speak about the Wednesdays and then the Saturdays, is only an open Saturday, is that correct?
Yes, the Saturday is only an open Saturday. That is the only day I do a lecture for the public. And those are for everyone that is interested. They're all welcome to come and join in on those lectures. And there is a fee for the lecture. And then it starts at 12, the lecture, and normally ends around about 1:30. So you need about an hour and a half if you're going to be doing the lecture, including everything else. It takes about 3 hours to walk around and enjoy the farm, I've been told. I've been told you cannot have anything under 3 hours. So anybody visiting will need to look at their time very carefully so that they give themselves enough time to really enjoy the farm.
And when you talk about, you know, walking around and so forth, would that be on open days only, or would that be on the Wednesday as well?
Wednesdays and open Saturdays. You're welcome to come and walk around the gardens. There's a labyrinth to walk and a nursery. There are two different main herb gardens, and then there are the sand gardens and the Garden of Remembrance, and there are many of the other gardens to enjoy. So that is open to the public on both days. The only day I don't do a lecture for the public is on a Wednesday, because we have many schools that come and do their projects with us, and they're very intense about getting the information that they need. So I focus my attention more in the schools for their lectures on a Wednesday, and then focus my attention more on the Saturdays, as Margaret had always done, for the public, so that people could, you know, the adults could really enjoy making creams or looking at the food, the cookery classes, or any of those things that we had set out for that month.
And is there a telephone number that we could give off, or do we
yes.
have to go?
I can give it to you.
Can you do it at the end of the program? When
yes,
you're done,
absolutely.
We can do it at the end of the program. You can then give me, you know, the website details and the
yes.
telephone numbers and so forth. Are we going to go for a short break, and when we come back, we'll continue. Stay tuned.
Wonderful.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Just tuning in. My name is Ismail Viava. Our program here to be different, and whether it's Midway 1548 Satellite Islam and on the DSTV platform 826. Well, warm welcome, and many of you are still curled up in bed and listen to us. We've got a wonderful, wonderful guest, and that's Sandy. And Sandy is the daughter of Margaret Roberts, late Margaret Roberts, and she's giving us some wonderful insights into the work of her mother, and also sharing some of the wonderful things that she has left behind. Margaret has left behind a legacy, and I don't think we'll ever get through all the work that has been done by her. But Sandy's going to help us unravel some of these things and what is available. I thank you very much for being with us, Sandy. Thanks once again.
Thank you, Ismail. It's a pleasure to be with you.
You know, we're talking about some of the amazing work that she has done and some of the things that, you know, she has really gone out, and it's only now that people are sort of picking up and say, you know, this is what she's done, and let's study it further. And we find that it's not only from, you know, lay people, but we find professionals all over the world. Has anyone, you know, told you that this is a specific type of work that she's done, and we now continue with that?
Yes, there have been many people that have come forward and questioned what we are doing, and have given the reports of how they have been inspired by Margaret and what they have done as themselves in their lives with the herbs, and the avenues of life that they've gone through to explore with the background of herbs. But for us on the Herbal, at the Herbal Center, as we continue Margaret's work and the Herbal Center being open, and I'm continuing with her lectures and with her books, we've had a lot of people querying and quite worried that we're not going to continue the legacy. And it is happening. We are continuing that legacy as much as we possibly can. I have been with Margaret for 32 years, and so I have started with her at the Herbal Center, and we've lived the dream of getting the information to everyone. You know, our motto is to inspire and to educate.
You know, having said that, you know, that whilst you're there, and you're definitely going to continue with her work, what do you think, you know, has been sort of with her? She's been continuing, you know, there's no sort of giving up or slowing down as she continued. And like you said, even right up to the very end, what do you think was something that kept her motivated?
Her writing. She absolutely loved her writing. If I go into her places where she wrote, she had on her desk many, many different things that she was writing at the time. I would find notes where she had said, "Sand, you've got to complete this, and please fill in a recipe, and please send this off." And so all over her desk, as she was preparing for the different books that we were looking at and the different ideas and the articles that she's written for magazines and that we've done together with photographs, I have found that her writing has been probably the thing that she could express and explain to people and inspire people with. And that will continue. There is so much writing that we are completing the books, and I'm finishing off a whole lot of her articles, and I'm continuing in her line. So her inspiration of what inspired her is going to continue on in me.
You know, and speaking about just writing, you know, when you look at magazines, and I one particular magazine, I know that she's been a regular contributor, has been Natural Medicine.
That's right.
And she's been, you know, whenever she comes in, that's one of the first things I do when I pick up that magazine, go up and see what has she written about, what particular plant has she found, or which is something new that she's discovered. And I must tell you, every time it is, it's a plant that you least thought would have some of these valuable sort of, ingredients to it that you could use holistically, and that was always exciting for me.
It's a very exciting magazine to read, and Margaret's articles were always wonderful. She has continued in the line, you know, the magazines are always ahead of time, they're always so well planned. So the magazine articles are still there, as well as Country Life. Country Life magazine has been amazing. They've always given you a good aspect of recipes and also of the way Margaret and I had run the farm. So Country Life will also continue. It's also a beautiful magazine, and if it's not in the magazine, it'll be online. You know, Country Life has a specific online digital magazine that you can subscribe to, and you can read it easily. It's wonderful. I think the last couple of ones we've done very interesting plants, Djibouti carbers and even the inseti and the banana, wonderful plants to read up about.
The other thing that Margaret did, which was also, you know, something that different is, she was able to extract the essential oils, and she utilized that extensively. And like you said, it was utilized both for cosmetic as well as medicinal uses. Is that going to continue, and is there a wide range? If a person comes in as a visitor, would they be spoiled for choices?
The essential oils we did a lot less of because we went into the teas in a very big way. And we found that the holistic approach, people were more interested in the teas. You will be able to still get the essential oils from us. The variety and the range is a lot less than we used to do. The teas are a lot more than we used to do. Just as the market has changed and the requirements have changed on the plants, we found that using the fresh plant by putting the plant into the hot water was releasing the oils that you'd be able to sip and have in your body straight away. So from a food aspect, we started doing the oils differently and started going more towards the teas. I am completing the oils book, which will come up in the next, I'm hoping I'll be able to complete it within a year. Margaret and I had set out doing the oils, and that is going to be from essential oil for cosmetic, going all the way through to the oils that we use in our foods. It would be the chili oils, and it would be the spicy oils on our salads, and those sort of oils. It will go all the way through. It's a fascinating book that we started. So unfortunately, I don't have the enormous range that we used to do in essential oils, but we are expanding our thoughts in a different angle. And with the oils book, we will bring them back again. So we will revisit it again and look at the old-fashioned oils.
But I think you've raised a very important point, is how to release the essential oils, and one of the ways to put them to hot water, so you get them a lovely tea. And that's the book that I think, when I looked at that, was some fascinating, you know, plants that you could use for teas. It was, in a way, from, it was non-traditional plants that you utilize in teas. One of the things that just comes to mind is the raspberry. I mean, when you look at the raspberry, I was just looking at something, and there was a tea that they made. Margaret was able to do some of that, come in and say, look, fine, you could use this for a tea, you could use this, and you could use this in combinations. Is that correct?
That's right. That is right, Ismail. And the raspberry is a wonderful choice as a tea, not to be overused. Of course, none of the teas need, we have to be careful. We need not to take them too often as to give our body a rest. So the combinations that are in the tea book are beautiful, and one would have a variety of changing those teas, and not having one tea too much, you'd be able to have a variety and enjoy them all. But the tea book was one of the exciting books that we loved doing, and I think it was in its third different publication. It first came out, Margaret did it many years ago, I think in the early 80s she did it, in a black and white version of with little line drawings, little faint line drawings, very pretty, small book. And thereafter it was published in Australia, and we just couldn't get it enough in South Africa that we decided to redo it. And so Margaret and I did that book together, and it was the greatest lot of fun. The cover has got a blue and white cup with basil tea in it. It's a sprig of tulsi, and it looks a little bit like the lavender, but it is the tulsi tea. And that photograph was taken one morning very early outside Margaret's front door as the sun came in from the north, and it just brought this beautiful light of what the tea was, and the fragrance was something unbelievable. Now that was essential oil. So it does give you a lot to look at in that book. It's a beautiful book as a gift as well. And I think people will look at it for years to come, knowing that they have so many health aspects to really consider, because everything is inspiring in it.
Yes, and you know, I know, I refer to it quite often. I go back, you know, page to page and say, look, can we try this tea? Can we try that? And I think one of the recommendations, and like you said, Margaret always said, don't use it continuously. Use the teas and change them. So if you use
one or two teas
in the morning, and use a different tea for the afternoon, and perhaps a different tea in the evening. Is that right?
Those are the wise words. Absolutely, everything in moderation.
And you know, when you looked at the, you know, the book, is it still available? Would that be available in South Africa?
Yes,
currently,
the e-book.
Do you have it in stock?
We do have it in stock. It is available in South Africa. All of the books, all Margaret's books are available, except for the ones that are from the 90s, early 80s, sorry. They've been updated, so you would get the better version now. They're all available from the Herbal Center. I will find out for you about the exporting. There should be an agent that is closer by that you'd be able to get the book through. But Amazon does keep these books, so they are available on Amazon easily. You'd be able to go on, and I think some of the collector's books are even on Amazon too. I know the new Indigenous book is going to be a collector's book, so you know, one has to, if you need to get that, one would need to get hold of the publisher straight away to be able to make a booking to get one of those books. Those are enormously popular already.
And would that be in a limited edition?
They are limited editions. And you know, they've got only a certain amount of limited editions, and they are numbered. And so those books, because they are a tribute to Margaret, those books, once they're up. But they will keep on being printed, not in the limited edition. So everybody would be able to get those, the unlimited edition.
And do you know perhaps how people would go? Would they have to go onto your website again?
Yes.
Or what would
they can contact us directly via email and just let us know that they are interested, and we will give the list to the publishers before they are out so that they have got their names down, I think. Those people who are interested in taking that book would need to be in contact with us quite soon, as I know that it is selling out very quickly. I will give you our details so that they can email us directly for that.
And do you know the cost? Would they be aware of the cost? Of
I'm not aware of the cost as such. I seem to think it is in the region. The limited edition is in the region of 2,000 rand, only because they are numbered and they are hand-bound.
Mm-hmm.
But the other book, the unlimited edition, would be not even a, you know, it would be a fraction of that.
So it would be like all other books, I suppose. It's easily available, and you know, yes, cost-wise would come down.
Much easily available, and at a very good price, an affordable price.
Okay. Now, you know, Sandy, we had to talk, and you know, people say, but there's so many things that Margaret's written, but I need to I can rather just afford, or I just want one or two. What would you recommend were the key books and another two? Which other two would you recommend?
Well, you know, Margaret always said the A to Z is the first book that she wrote that is for the new gardener, the young gardener. So the A to Z is still, it's also available in Afrikaans for the South African market. It is English and Afrikaans version, A to Z on herbs. It's called Alles oor Kruie in Afrikaans. It is one of those beautiful books that is simple and easy to read. And then, if I had to look at the other books that she has on the shelves, I would definitely say Healing Foods would be one of Margaret's favorite ones, because everybody has some sort of a condition that we are concerned about, health issue. And so Healing Foods is a fascinating book. And, you know, the way Margaret writes this book, you will understand it's so much easier if you have got the condition and you know how to heal the problem just by eating the right food. So Healing Foods is a beautiful one, and that is a breezer book. And then, of course, The 100 New Herbs, which has got the red hibiscus, is one of Margaret's absolute favorites, because that was the 100 new herbs that we hadn't spoken about. So things like the blackjack.
Okay, that's just something that she spoke about very
fondly. Yes. The weed, the blackjack weed,
yes, yes,
used for flu.
Misplaced plants.
Exactly. Yes. So that is a very special book. And then I must say, I think one of my most favorite books on the market is the 100 Edible and Healing Flowers, because every mom in the kitchen loves flowers. And we love to cook with flowers, and we love to breathe them, and we love them for the fragrance and the flavor. And for me, I think the 100 Edible and Healing Flowers is possibly one of the most beautiful books, because if you're a good cook, this is the book that goes for you. If you are used to your spices and you're used to all of your herbs, then this is an absolute gem to have. It would open up your eyes to new ways of cooking with beautiful flowers that are straight out of your garden. I'm not just talking about the common ones like borage and thyme. I'm thinking about the bulrush, and I'm thinking about chicory, you know, even the hollyhock, and we use bohemias, which are beautiful all over India. You know, I don't think we have as beautiful bohemias as that you do. And then rosella, which is the hibiscus subterifa. So it goes on and on, and it can just inspire you. Every book is different, and every book has got something that will inspire you. So there's something for everyone.
You know, and I'm just looking and listening to you talking about, you know, the book on flowers, and, you know, it would enhance any dish. It would enhance any dish. I think aesthetically, yes, it would just lift the dish to another caliber. You know, when you have those flowers in there, and I think it would be, you know, whilst the flavors may be there, but it would elevate it to just another level.
Absolutely, it does. It definitely does elevate it to a different level. But I think it also elevates not only the person who's preparing the food, but the person that's receiving the food, it becomes almost a gift.
Yeah, you're just thinking, you know, a person presents this, and yeah, you have all these wonderful colors and, you know, mixtures of colors and flavors, and it's a burst of a whole lot of things, and you look at it, and again, I must say, for South Africans, we're a bit slow on the take. We haven't really been eating flowers. We still look at it a bit suspiciously, but here's a way of creating, you know, that on a dinner table, you know, it becomes just a focal point, and, you know, becomes a talking point as well.
Absolutely, it does. Just the simple the flowers that we use in the restaurant at the market. Margaret Roberts Bugle Center are the jasmine sambac. And that is a beautiful flower to use not only in the cakes but also in the drinks.
Okay.
And then there are the more common ones that everybody knows about, and those are the nasturtium flowers and the pansies and the violets, you know, those little ones. For us, we love to use a variety of the basils and elderflowers and echinacea flowers, and then go all the way through. The garden is just, in its abundance of flowers, one could make one huge floral salad just with flowers, and it would be completely edible.
Just talking about elderflowers, and I bought that at the market. Tell me, take the elderflower and take this Australian tea tree bush.
Yes.
It hasn't become a bush, it's become a big tree. I never tell you. It's such a fascinating plant. You have both of them, you know, growing side by side.
Yes.
And they give us so much joy, both of them.
They do. They do, and especially the berries from the elderberry.
Well, I'm not really, I'm not using the berries, but I definitely get the flowers. I know about the flowers. I'm a bit scared about the berries. I'm not too sure how to use them.
You know, I just scatter the berries into the cakes with the other berries because it's such a good immune booster. If you're going to be having flus and colds, the elderberry is one of those that really chases them away very quickly. Even if you make a tea from the berry, it becomes a very deep purple, almost a deep purple-red color. And so it's a beautiful colored tea. But I'm sure that you enjoy the flowers more in the cakes. I think that's more of a sweet tooth, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, that, I think that's what it is. And you know, when you see it, it just blooms up. It doesn't have a long, you know, it doesn't a long-lasting flower. It's just there at the beginning of spring, and then, and before you know, it's all over, and then the berries come out, and that's the end of the elderflower.
That's right. Yes.
And then, you know, the Australian tea tree has been fascinating as well, and there's been so much uses of that.
There are many uses for the tea tree. It's absolutely astounding because of its antiseptic properties.
Yeah, and you know, and like, you know, but again, people aren't aware that these trees are available, and like I said, just bought it. I bought it as sort of, was about maybe less than 30 centimeters, and now it's more than about 1.5 meters in height.
Oh my, that is amazing, isn't it?
No, definitely so. That's some of the things that could. Let's just talk a little about healing food. Is that just dealing with herbs, or does it deal with vegetables as well?
Yes, it's vegetables and fruit as well as nuts. It's one of those that gives you the different type of disease or the different type of healing condition that one will have. And then it explains the fruit or the, it even has wheat and seeds, and it just uses the food material as healing your body. So whichever it is that you have as a condition, say for instance, we talk about stevia. If you have diabetes, then stevia would be the plant for you, because stevia has got absolutely no sugar in it. It is a sugar-free plant, but it has the flavorings of sugar. So it masks your concept or idea of sugar, and it goes into the body used by diabetics very easily. So it would explain stevia to you, give you a cake, spice cake recipe, and explain how you would use the stevia and so on. And then also, for instance, the tamarind, which, you know, is the Indian date. It would give you, for instance, what the tamarind is good for and why you would use it. And then at the front of the book, it gives you the contents. So you would look at the book with what the herb would be. Then if you go a little bit further, it'll give you how to grow the plant. And then at the back, it gives you the conditions. So you'd be able to look at your index to see if you have a common cold, if you have chronic fatigue, or if you have cramps or corns and calluses. It depends. It goes alphabetically of what you have, and then find the plant or the food that is absolutely perfect for that condition. And when you start eating that plant, then all of those symptoms get released, and so you have less and less of that problem. You heal yourself.
I'm just going to repeat the book. So it's healing foods. Is that correct? And edible healing foods.
It's called Healing Foods by Margaret Roberts.
Yeah, no, all of these are by edible healing foods. I'm just right. And then the tea is by Margaret Roberts. Those are the three that you recommend.
Yes.
That's right. And then the A to Z of on herbs.
That's right.
Thank you very much for that, Sandy. And finally, what can you just share two herbs that you think, whilst, you know, we've got the bulbanella and we've got the aloe, what other herb do you think a gardener should have in his or her garden?
Well, Margaret would always say Centella Asiatica, which is the common pennywort. She would always say, you've got to have that in your garden because of what it does to the cell rejuvenation. So I think as a herbalist for Margaret, one of her most favorite herbs that she used to consistently use was Centella, the pennywort. If I had to choose another herb, I think I would probably say stevia, because that is the sugar plant. At the moment, the whole world is suffering from too much sugar. Sugar is our new poison. So I would say stevia would be the next one that one would actually have to have in your garden and grow.
And just the pennywort, you just keep it in water, is that correct?
The pennywort grows very easily. It sort of makes ropes as it grows of new shoots that come up. So you would need either to grow it in a pot if you don't want it to take over a bed. If you've got the space and you put it into a bed, it has these most beautiful little heart-shaped leaves. It does not have a flower. The leaf is very similar to a violet leaf and can be confused with a violet leaf. And it grows prolifically. Very easy to grow the little roots. You've just got to tuck them into the soil and water well. And the three times watering a day, a week, not a day, three times watering of a week of the centella will keep it very robust. And then a few leaves just into either your apple cider vinegar or into your tea or chopped up into your stew or however you find it easiest to take.
And what would that be good for?
Well, the centella is an amazing cell proliferator, so it's good for the cells. It builds the cells. If you're having a cell builder, of course, it's going to be good for memory, you know, and it's going to be good for the bones, and it's going to be good for the joints and the movement. So the centella is one of those herbs that has got a wide variety of healing properties just because it starts on the cell itself. So centella, I would say Centella Asiatica would be one of those favorites, most definitely for Margaret. And then stevia would mostly be for the flavoring and for the properties of tasting like sugar, not looking like sugar at all, but tasting like sugar, because it doesn't look anything
like
sugar.
I saw a chocolate last week, a chocolate bar that said stevia, and I bought it, and I said, well, you can taste any different, it tastes like an ordinary chocolate. And I was really amazed.
Yes. Well, you know, if they've got the cocoa bean, if it's strong enough and it's high enough and they've added stevia to it, they can do amazing things to it. They really can. But it is green. It's not white powder as we all see it in the shops. It's a green plant. So one has to be very careful of the source of stevia that you're buying. Best is to have it completely natural in the plant.
You know, I've taken it and I've tried a little bit. You know, I've just taken it and I've powdered some of them.
Yes.
And like I said, when you throw it in, it would turn into a greenish sort of liquid and fine.
Yes,
if you were able to look at it and understand that it's natural, you'd be able to then, you know, consume it.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you very much. You know, I said, you know, that well, talking about the pennywort, you know, I've got, it grows so prolifically, like you said, it takes over your whole garden if you don't look after it.
It does.
It really does. And I must say to that, I've had lots of people saying, but how do you use it? I said, well, I know, you always make a tea, but you've got some lovely ideas. You could perhaps put it into food. You could do it into apple cider. So there's been some wonderful ways. Now, finally, let's just round up. Tell us something about where we're going to get all this information from. Where is your website, your address? How do we get to your farm and so forth?
Well, the best is to find us is to go onto our website. The easiest is to look under the Margaret Roberts, to Google Margaret Roberts, and the best is to go Margaret Roberts, that goes www.margaretroberts, all one word, .co.za.
Spelling of Margaret again, M-A-R-G-A-R-E-T, Margaret Roberts, is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
Okay.
So that's the easiest way to find us. All of our telephone numbers are up there. If you don't get hold of us on a telephone, it is because we do not get very good cell phone reception. And unfortunately, some are satellite phones and some are cell phones, and they bounce. The reception bounces. But if you would like to email us, it would also be very good, because then the email, doesn't matter how long it takes to come through, you don't lose the connection. The email will reach us. And the email address is Margaret Roberts, one word, M-A-R-G-A-R-E-T-R-O-B-E-R-T-S, with the @ sign, And then Lantic, lantic.net, N-E-T. So it's a very simple address, and you can email us with that. It is also on the website if you don't, if you miss that. It is on the website, and so you'll be able to contact us with what you'll be needing. And we hope that we can actually help everyone.
And in terms of the actual physical address, if you're coming in by car, what would be the easiest highway?
You would need to go onto the physical address would be we are behind the Hardebeespoort Dam in a little tiny little area called De Wild, D-E-W-I-L-D-T. So if you put it into your Garmin or onto Google Map and you look for us, we are in the Northwest Province, and that is very close to Hardebeespoort Dam in a tiny little area called De Wild. And our number, our board number is number 16 on the De Wild Road, which is the R513.
R513.
Yes.
Would it be near perhaps the Wild, you know, they have the Cheetah Center in that area?
That's right. They are our neighbors. That's
okay.
Right.
So it's just next door.
We're just next door to the Cheetah Farm, that's right.
Okay, so it's on the R513.
Yes.
Okay, and that is number 16, Hardebeespoort Dam, De Wild area, and it's www.margaretroberts, and if you want to get onto the email, it's email margaretroberts, the @ is atlantic.net.
That's right.
Well, thank you very much, Sandy. It's been just wonderful chatting to you. You've given us so much information, so much we can share with our listeners, and I'm sure we'll get lots of people who would want to come in to visit and to query things. But you take care, and thank you for being with us on Radio Sound. Thanks, Millie.
Thank you, Ismail. It's been a pleasure.
And we've been chatting to Sandy, who is the daughter of the late Margaret Roberts, Bourdoin of herbs and alternative healing, and she's given us some wonderful insights into the work of her mum, as well as some of the recipes and some of the healing herbs. And that's all for me until we meet again, inshallah. You take care. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.